Over the years, I've been asked by many people how I ever got involved with the Spirit-filled churches. I said, well, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 18, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I joined up with a group of believers who took the Lord Jesus Christ at his word, a church that the gates of hell should not prevail against, not a church that would cow down to every whim, to every opposition, to every one of those who spoke against it, trying to embarrass it. I am involved with the church that has continued on since the day of Pentecost. This church that Jesus said that he was going to build, that the gates of hell should not prevail against, is the one that I joined up with. It is not a building. It is not an organization. It's an organism. It's not a building. It's a body, a living body, a moving body. This moving body has been a movement throughout the world. It's a holiness movement. Everybody that joined this church accepted the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as being true, as being holy. They remembered that Jesus was a holiness preacher. Jesus referred to his Father as a holy Father. A lot of people shy away from that terminology. Holiness to a lot of people is an embarrassment. When you talk about a holiness movement, they won't know part of it. But did you know that the word holy is listed more than 150 times in the New Testament? The Bible speaks of a holy man, the holy angels. The Bible tells us about the holy prophets who wrote the holy law, the holy commandments. It speaks also of holy first fruits. Paul even told us about a holy lump. Can you imagine that? Paul referred to those that were clean without the yeast of the Pharisees. He referred to that group as a holy lump. Paul also tells us about a holy sacrifice, which we are to present as our own bodies to God, which is our reasonable service. Paul told the church in Corinthians and mentioned two times the holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. He said it more than one time. The Bible also mentions a holy day, the holy brethren, lifting up holy hands. The Bible tells us that we were called with a holy calling. Peter says, we are a holy nation, that we should have a holy conversation. The Bible speaks also of a holy mountain. Jesus is referred to as the Holy One of God, the Holy Child Jesus. The Bible tells us about a holy place, a holy city, holy ground, and then there is that verse that tells us about the Holy Scriptures. It mentions the Holy Temple. One writer also talks about our faith as being most holy faith. It talks about the apostles as being holy apostles. It also tells us about a holy Jerusalem. With all of these things of God that's mentioned here as being holy, Peter finally says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Because, Peter said, because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. We serve a holy God. We can't be anything but holy if we intend to remain in Him. Because we know that if you are not holy, you are unholy. And you don't want to be unholy. God will have nothing to do with an unholy thing. This Spirit-filled group of believers, this holiness movement, emerged in the first century. And this movement has moved all the way down through the centuries. There has never been a generation that this holiness movement, this Spirit-filled group of believers, was not a part of. It's not a new thing. This is not a pseudo Spirit-filled group. This group experienced the same thing that the first group did on the day of Pentecost. Now, I don't believe that everybody that heard Peter preach that great sermon accepted and received what he said as being true. I believe that there were mockers and scoffers right until his benediction. But the Bible says, those that gladly received this were added to the church. The scoffers, the mockers, and all of those rebel rousers who came only to make fun of, to laugh at, to mock, they didn't accept this. There may be some today who cannot accept the fact that this that Peter talked about, this that Joel prophesied about, is for us today. But the Word of God is true whether we accept it or not, whether we believe it or not. The truth of the Scripture doesn't depend on whether you accept or believe it. The Scriptures is true no matter what your opinion is of it. No matter what anyone's opinion is, it's still true. Here a while back, I taught lessons on what Jesus said about greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Greater things than the works that I do shall you do, he said. Some have told me, brother, that's not right, because people aren't doing it. Well, just because you're not doing greater things than he did, does that make him a liar? Does that make him an imposter? I say not.